Welcome to Startup Health Now, the weekly show celebrating the healthcare transformers and changemakers reimagining healthcare. My name is Stephen Krein. On today's episode, we're sitting down with serial entrepreneur Jeannann Booth, who's building Unaliware. This is her fourth startup, and we're going to have a fascinating conversation about the evolution of her entrepreneurial career. This is going to be a great episode.
It is the duty of leaders to lead, of the creative to create, of the daring to do. The free world expects leadership of us. Its fate and our fate depends upon our leadership. We are industrious, inventive, restless, with the fires that burn within us. But I say that nothing is easy, and the best things are the hardest. And all our troubles, all our immense difficulties, now and in the future, can I say, be solved if we have the will, the courage. The future is to those who take.
Jeannann, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's a real pleasure to be here.
It's been really great to watch you build Unaliware over the last year and a half. But you've been an entrepreneur a long time. This is your fourth startup.
That's right. Yes.
So can you take us back a little bit? Because first of all, building one company, let alone four, is not for the faint of heart. And you've had a lot of success selling one of your companies to Apple, one to TI. But take us back a little bit. What got you into entrepreneurship, and why are you doing it again?
Well, so those are completely different questions. So what got me into entrepreneurship in the beginning was simply the fact that I'm, as a person, supremely impatient. Everything needs to happen now, and the corporate world doesn't go at my pace. So my background is 30 years in semiconductors. So for over a decade, I was actually in just corporate semiconductor positions. Before I went and joined the first semiconductor startup company that I worked with, I joined them. That one didn't actually make it. And then started the next one. That was the one that sold to Apple.
That was called?
It was called Intrinsity. Yep. Sold to Apple in 2010. They're best known, Intrinsity is best known for the graphics units and all the iPads. So there's semiconductor technology behind all of that. And so, the reason, the thing that kind of drives me there is that desire to make a difference, to do something quickly, to not have to wait on the corporate process, because I'm just not that patient person.
Right. As most entrepreneurs aren't. Yep.
Yep. So after Intrinsity, I actually was the original founder, the only founder of the of Luminary Micro, which developed microcontrollers. That's the one that sold to Texas Instruments. And after that one, I retired for a couple of years. You know, I was kind of done. I was working on a liveaboard dive boat as a dive master.
Love it.
It was great. But then the events actually happened that led to the founding of Unaliware.
Why, and what were the events, and why did you start Unaliware? And it's different, obviously not a semiconductor company, a different kind of animal altogether.
It is. It absolutely is. So the events that actually happened were, my mom was just turning 80, and my mom is an identical twin. And, she's independent. She's in excellent health, but she's a little fragile. She's a little frail, a little vulnerable. And so between her and her twin sister, Jean, who I'm named after, just some things happened over a period of about 6 or 8 months that made me say, you know, I think maybe we need to get something to make sure that the girls stayed, healthy and safe. Mm-hmm. And so I started looking at medical alert products. And I sat down with my mom one day and went through the products that are on the market. And after I got done talking about all the products, my mom looked at me and she held her teeth completely together. And she goes, "Don't you get that from me. I'm not wearing it." And I kind of, I was a little taken aback because she meant it very much. But also, when I thought about it, I can't really blame her. My mom was a model all of her life. I'm the spinning image of my dad's sister. Wish I looked like my mom. But, she's a very stylish, well-put-together woman, always just perfectly done. And even I wouldn't wear those products. And I'm an engineer's engineer. Right.
What kind of products are you talking about exactly? Is it the help I fall and I can't get
up?
Buttons,
the push buttons, like help I fall in and I can't get up. Exactly so. All of those really ugly, stigmatizing, products that scream to anybody who sees you, I'm old. And who wants that? Right. Not my mom.
Right. So what led to you, what was the moment where you realized you had to do something about it?
So, you know, I left mom's house that day going, going to have to do something else. Kept thinking about it and called her a couple of weeks later and said, you know, Mom, how about if I make you a watch and it'll look good and it doesn't have a button, so it's not stigmatizing. So nobody will know and it'll talk to you. And that's how we do, you know, not having a button. And it can help you with falls, medication reminders, and a guard against wandering. What do you think about that, Mom? And she said, I don't know. And I said, great, you're hired.
Right.
So my mom is actually our senior user experience advisor.
Love it.
And she was personally responsible for, I don't know, the first 50, 70 people who came through our focus groups as we were working on exactly how did the Unali Wear Kanega watch need to look, how did it need to act, and what are the things that are really important to somebody who is independent but vulnerable.
Gotcha. So how different is it building this company versus all your other companies? Because I'm assuming the early days of that company was not driven by something your mom experienced. But how is it different?
You know, it's different in a couple of different ways. I mean, there's certainly some aspects of entrepreneurship that are absolutely the same, right? The one characterization of entrepreneurship is, you know, the highs are so high and the lows are so low. That's always still there. But other things are completely different. I've never started one of my companies without being very passionate about the business that we're doing, and without that business being one that would cause a disruption in the market. I'm really good at disrupting markets. And so that's another commonality. But things have changed in terms of the way that we do funding, and things for us, the founding group of Unali Wear, are also different because this is the first time that we've had a directly impactful, positive impact on people's lives. So with our semiconductors, we had customers who were building amazing, wonderful products that I loved.
Mm-hmm.
But now we're the ones building an amazing, wonderful product that helps millions of seniors live independently with dignity. It's great.
Yeah. So from an entrepreneur standpoint, you started the company what year?
Started it in 2014.
Okay, so you're...
Yeah, summer of 2014.
So you're a little over a year plus
in
building it. Where are you right now? And where's the, you know, how would you describe the state you're in terms of the prototype of the product as well as the company?
You know, I actually got my years wrong. So 2013.
2013.
Because we're just over 2 years old.
Okay.
That's one of those things about entrepreneurship. You lose track of time.
Blends all together.
So where we are right now, we are in our final prototype, getting ready for market trials at the beginning of 2016.
And what you know, I'm assuming, you know, the product launched in the midst of the Apple Watch coming out and all of the devices that everyone's talking about. While I'm sure that could cause lots of problems, confusion, questions, what's the biggest difference between what is out in the market that everyone is talking about and what is happening with your product?
So there's two things. I believe that for extending independence, for supporting aging in place, you actually need a purpose-specific device, not something that is paired to something else. And the fundamental reason is
so this, not paired with a iPhone or
not paired
an
with
Android
an iPhone
device.
or even a hub in the home or something like that, right? Because here's the fundamental fact: the number one cause of injury, death, in seniors is falls. Majority of falls happen in the bathroom.
Number one.
Majority of falls happen in the bathroom. Majority of falls in the bathroom happen at night. Now, if you have an Apple Watch, it's charging. So that doesn't help you much.
If you have one.
Now, of course, on top of that, less than 10% of seniors above the age of 75 have a smartphone. And if they're anything like my mom, they don't want a smartphone. And they're really, really good at that age at getting only what they want.
Sure. So you're different, you're unpaired from an iPhone or any other mobile device. The idea is you're wearing it even when you're in the bathroom because you don't need to charge it every day?
That's right. And it's completely waterproof for the shower, the bath, or your water aerobics class. And one of the fundamental things that we did differently that made me actually decide to start this company with a purpose-specific device is that we have a patent pending on a battery system here in the band. So you simply take the battery off, put it on the charger, take one from the charger, put it on the watch, whenever the watch tells you to do so. And that way you leave the watch on. Since you never take it off, you never have to remember to put it back on.
Love that. So now every 90 days we get to see you. You've got a new updated version of your watch. What number prototype is this?
This one right here is number 5.
Number 5.
So number 6 is the one that's actually going to pilot.
Okay, number 6. And what's the difference between the first and the 6th?
Oh, my God. So the first was our bootstrapped one. It was functional in a 3D printed box about that big. I actually had it. I wore it. You remember. Mm-hmm. a 3D printed box, big white box, tall, thick, you know, it was bootstrapped.
So thinner, sleeker, faster. What's your biggest lesson, though, that you've learned through each iteration that kind of is driving everything today?
Through each iteration, part of what we do is with each iteration, there are different goals that we have that we want to make sure that they're going to work as we go into volume production, and also different things that we want to test with our focus groups. I'm a strong believer in focus groups, and the seniors who work with us are really, really important to telling us what it is that we need to be doing. Everybody who talks about the silent generation, which is today's 70-plus,
yeah.
They're not silent. By the way, they're not at all silent. They are private, but they're not silent. And so that's wonderful because they give us a lot of feedback. So when we make a new prototype, part of what we're doing is we're taking parts of that prototype and saying, is this loud enough? Can you see this? Can you hear this? Would you wear this? Is this easy enough to get the battery out to put it back in? That's part of what we're doing in each of those iterations.
Right. So this company, so different than your prior companies, is this a new journey for you as an entrepreneur? Do you feel like you're learning all new things all over again? Or do you feel like you've seen this show before, just some different players and some different things? I mean, how do you kind of size up this between everything compared to everything else?
I think if you're wise, you're always learning, right? So there's definitely lots and lots of learning going on. There are some aspects of building a company and building a physical product, which we have, that remain constant company to company, but everything is completely different. I mean, the degree with which we get user feedback, I've never had the opportunity to get this kind of feedback from other companies before.
Are you doing traditional pilot studies or focus groups? What are you doing for...
Well, it depends on what you mean by focus. So our focus groups...
I only mean what it is, whatever it might be in your situation.
So when we do our focus groups, there are people who volunteer to actually tell us what they think. And remember, the silent generation's not silent. They're wonderful at telling us what they think. They give us lots of great suggestions, too. It was a focus group that actually gave us that little tagline, you know, we're a wearable OnStar for people. That came out of a focus group.
Got it. So you're listening to them and giving them a voice. So where do you go from here? I mean, you've got 2 years under your belt. You know, do you expect this to be a 5-10 year kind of journey for yourself to kind of get this product to a place where you're dreaming about, or is this got longer shelf life than that or shorter? What do you think the market looks like as this develops over the next 5 to 10 years?
I think it's quite a bit longer, actually. You know, my other companies have been successful, and my definition of success, by the way, as an entrepreneur is not only do the investors get money, but all the employees get money, which if you're an entrepreneur, you understand that that means that all
difference.
The multiples get paid out, and it goes all the way to the entrepreneurs. And I'm very proud to say that all of my companies have paid all the way out through the employees.
How long did each of those companies take?
Well, they were semiconductors, so it's a completely different thing. So one, Intrinsity, was 13 years.
Mm-hmm.
Luminary Micro was 4 or 5.
Okay, a little quicker.
Lot quicker, very quick on a semiconductor scale of things, yeah.
So this one?
This one, you know, I mean, of all of the companies, this is the one that actually has the ability to grow up and become its own entity long term. If that happens, that'll be great. If we get acquired by somebody with a like mindset, that would also be great. You know, I don't really care as long as we're able to deliver independence with dignity. And we have a full roadmap of new devices that can do even more. But, you know, first things first.
First things first. So when you think about the whole wearables market, and I'm assuming you're not the only ones thinking about the senior market. What do you think is needed for people to kind of get out of their own way a little bit and keep thinking that this whole thing is about the Apple Watch or the Android Watch or the Fitbit?
Well, I think there's two things here. So the first is, you know, when I started Unaliwear, I didn't set out to build a watch. In fact, I really didn't want to build a watch. I'd spent 30 years in semiconductors building hardware. I wanted to do a software company for once, you know, quicker, cheaper.
Sure.
But the bottom line was there's no hardware out there that actually works correctly for the demographic. You know, you have to actually meet the needs of your population. And the charging one is a huge one, and no smartphones is another huge one. Eventually, over time, I think the consumer guys will build a smartwatch that is appropriate for use in the senior demographic. And when that happens, we'll just port our software, and we'll become the service and software company that we also are today. I think, you know, when it talks about, you know, wearable companies getting out of their own way, I think one of the biggest challenges that people have is that mindset for especially technical entrepreneurs that says, you know, I'm the technologist, I know what's right, I'm not going to talk to anybody, I'm going to give them that product and they're going to love it. And that's just not how it works. Not if you want a product that really is good. You need to talk to the people who are going to wear it.
Right. So do you really think this, is this company tapping into your unique ability and the thing that you're really best at as an entrepreneur?
I would say yes.
Which is what?
Which is that ability to combine deep technical knowledge with an understanding of the market space that you're going into.
Do you have any rituals or habits that you've picked up over the years that you're bringing to this company once again?
Yes, of course.
What?
So today's market, everybody would call it agile development.
Mm-hmm.
Way back when I first started doing it with my companies, we called it deliverables. And it's basically, you know, sprint methodology towards development. That's the reason you see a new watch every time you see me every 3 months. We have a new watch because we were sprinting in between. We do our agile development with post-it notes on a wall, and there you go.
High tech.
Supremely high tech.
High tech. Books. Do you read a lot? Do you consume blogs? What do you kind of use to kind of keep ahead in terms of your knowledge, wisdom, and kind of keep growing?
I do read, and I do consume blogs. Yeah, I kind of do all
favorite,
of that.
What book are you reading recently, or what's one of your favorite books?
So, one of the books that that I read recently, this has actually been kind of a while, but was Jonathan Bush's book on healthcare. And one of the things that really struck me about that book was when he talks in the beginning about his experiences making people more healthy that had diabetes, and how he didn't actually get traction on it because the problem was that nobody valued quality of life, at least nobody who paid, right? The insurers didn't value the quality of life. And so they didn't want to actually pay for that diabetes care product, because what happened was, because people felt better, they actually got out and did things, and, you know, then they would like maybe sprain an ankle or something, and so they were like, you know, if they're miserable and they're laying in bed all the time because they can't move, well then they cost less.
Yeah.
Which is ridiculous.
Right. That's a good way to kind of wrap up. The, you know, I think one of the things that I always, you know, love to talk about is the fact that we don't choose companies, we choose entrepreneurs. Startup Health is very focused on the quality of the people that are transforming healthcare. And we know that these companies, some are early and some are a little later, but they evolve and morph. But one of the things that we saw right away when we met you was an entrepreneur who hasn't even done her best work yet, and you've done amazing things. So it's been great watching you. We continue to cheer you on and help, and obviously are excited to see this come to market and see seniors wearing them. I know I'll have them for my parents. And so thanks for joining us today, and look forward to spending more time together.
Thank you. It's been a real pleasure being a part of Startup Health, one of the health transformers.
Thank you.